My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Breaking news on The Fan, brought to you by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Get 3 free days of BetQL access by downloading the BetQL app or visiting BetQL.com. This is via national reporter for NFL Network, Tom Pelissero. The Commanders plan to sign veteran kicker Austin Seibert. He is on their short list. They are in the works on a deal with him already. So by saying goodbye to one former Browns kicker in Cade York, they could be bringing another one in Austin Seibert. He kicked last year for the Jets, went 1 of 1 on field goal attempts. It was between 30 and 39, and he made his only extra point. He handled 3 kickoffs. So very, very minimal action in the NFL last season. In 2022, he was with Detroit. He went 3 for 5. His longest attempt was short of 50, and he hit all 12 of his extra points. In his career, 56 of 62 on extra points and 45 of 53, about an 80% rate on his field goal attempts. But interestingly, if you look at made from 50-plus, just 2 for 7 in his career. So he hasn't really shown a whole lot of length from deep. But these are the guys that are available. He's 27. They're also probably not trying to find the best kicker necessarily for next week, but someone who could grow into being their long-term kicker that they could have around here for the rest of the season and beyond. So Austin Seibert is the next man up.
Yeah, so I remember him from Cleveland a few seasons ago. Feels like he had a pretty good year then. But again, that's like 5 calendar years ago. He's been kicking around. A lot of part-time stuff, filling in a handful of games with Cleveland, Cincinnati, Detroit. You mentioned the one game with the Jets. So there are guys with more significant resumes. You mentioned Greg Joseph, who's been kicking pretty steadily in the league for a while. They don't seem to be interested in that. They're very much in this Cade York tier of guys that were in the league kind of and now aren't as much. This is where they're mining.
Clearly, they like the idea of like young and potential. Like, hasn't been great yet, but maybe he could be. Ramiz Ahmed, no experience. Riley Patterson, limited, not great experience. Cade York, same exact thing. And now Cyber. That's 4 straight guys with dudes like Greg Joseph and others who have kicked in the league for years out there. So I think, again, they're not just trying to answer the question, who would be the best kicker against the Giants? They're basically saying, who might be a kicker here? It's like signing anyone at any position.
Sure.
You're not just going out and getting some 34-year-old to get you to the end of the year. They're trying to build the room, so to speak.
So let me ask this question then rhetorically, because I think that's at least a salient philosophy or a thought. Wouldn't you then not be cutting guys after a game? If you want to think long-term, because we're building, if this is a recalibration or we're finding north as we rebuild or we're building north or whatever it is we're doing right now, wouldn't you be more patient? Like, if you're trying to win the division and this guy's kicker screwing you, you got to act now. I'm just asking. I don't have an answer.
I would say yes if there wasn't a draft pick tied to him. In other words, I really believe that if a seventh-round pick wasn't on the line by keeping him till next week, he'd still be here.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's no real difference between him and Austin Seibert or the other guys on your list.
Save yourself a seventh. Yep.
So you're basically saying, what's better, Austin Seibert or Cade York and a seventh-round pick?
Mm-hmm.
You know they value picks. I mean, they've made that very clear. So I think that's why they did what they did today. Now, your question could be, why would they have been willing to give a seventh-rounder up? And maybe if he came in here and he kicked the lights out.
Then it doesn't matter.
In practice every day, he's crushing it. And, you know, he's good from 57 yesterday and he's good from, you know, 47 and he went 2 for 2 or whatever. Then maybe they feel like, well, I don't care that we're giving up a seventh rounder. We got our kicker of the future and we love the length on the leg. By the way, there was a record number of field goals made from 50 plus in the league yesterday. Did you guys see that stat?
There was a record.
Yes, there's never been more kicks of 50 or more. Or even 54 or more, both categories, made in any 1 week in NFL history as there was yesterday. It's so maddening when you watch all these other games. Chris Boswell, good from 50-plus, saved the Steelers' bacon. I think he made six kicks in the game. Saved their bacon on three field goals, 50-plus. There were three different kickers who had multiple 50-yard field goals, essentially, yesterday. And Washington's guy goes out from 47 and can't figure it out.
The type of miss matters to me. I know it maybe doesn't to anyone else. They just want it in, and that's kind of the end of it. But when a guy's not, you know, dramatically off, where it's like, it looks like it never had a chance, both of his kicks kind of faded towards the end, plenty of distance there. I don't know. I'm when someone's not close, like Ahmed a couple times kicked the ball, and it's like, you've never kicked a ball before. That's what it looks like. It looks like you were out there, you won some kind of contest for Dr. Pepper at halftime of a college bowl game to win a couple grand or something. It looked ridiculous. I thought York looked fine. I know the balls didn't go through the upright, and it's because they sort of drifted to the right there a little bit, but it wasn't like, oh, these are laughable attempts like Chris Blewett's were, you know?
No, I don't think he's a laughable option. I don't think he's a guy that's going to make terrible kicks. Attempts, but making them is the name of the game.
Sure.
I don't care how
so that matters and write that down.
I mean, if they're sailing beautifully end over end and it's a nice loud thud when you make contact, that's all cool. But the most important part is when that thing sails into the end zone, it's got to go through those yellow things. Let's go to Chris in Hyattsville on G&D. What's up, Chris?
What's up? Hey, why don't they just hire that kicker guy on YouTube? He looks pretty good.
I don't know him, but is he like a trick kicker, dude?
He's like this young black guy who does like viral videos and he just hits bombs from like 60 yards.
He was the one that was in the UFL kicking for San Antonio, but he got injured in like his second career game.
Oh, yeah, I love that guy.
Yeah, I forget what his real name is, but his YouTube name is like Destroying or something.
I also, again, like I don't know anything. I'm just a portly fella sitting in a seat. Your boy would have gone to Jake Bates, speaking of the UFL, who kicked for the Lions last night. And I just said, here, I know you've never kicked one second in the NFL. Here's 4 years and $20 million. You're our new kicker. Enjoy yourself. You'll be here for 4 years. They didn't seem to be in a rush. They'll just figure it out with Ramiz Ahmed. How'd that work out? Anyway, continue, Chris.
There's also one co-host that has still yet to prove he can kick a field goal.
Mm.
But good point. 19 out of 20 field goals from 40 yards.
It'll never happen, unfortunately.
Are we still doing game balls and gassers, or is there a different question now?
You could do it.
We'll allow it.
All right. I got to give a game ball to Jaden Daniels for just being a complete professional and not folding. Even though he didn't have a great game, especially passing, he didn't look like he was overwhelmed or that, you know, he was morally crushed by just how good the NFL is compared to what he may have expected. So and he running the ball. I mean, he's dynamic. I mean, Lamar, but with a little less shift, a little less shiftiness, but my gasser's got to go to Cliff Kingsbury because I haven't seen a worse offensive game plan to start a season since like the end of the Jay Gruden era. And I can't believe that, you know, watching other guys play quarterback all weekend who are knowing where they're going to go with the ball almost before the snap. I know it's going to take a long time for Jaden to get there, but he needed a little bit more layups built into the game plan, and it just didn't seem like those were available.
Thank you, buddy. I mean, to me, the only – those predetermined we're doing a bubble screen or we're doing some of the quick stuff. It's like, yeah, the other team knows that too. There's got to be some kind of counterpunch. Like every post player in basketball, you need one move and a counter to that move if somebody sits on it, right? Kareem Abdul-Jabbar scored 1 billion points with a skyhook, but if you sat on it, he would go up and under. You know, there's no counter, it seems like, right? Nobody's afraid of down the field. Nobody's afraid of that kind of that, 20-plus yard strike on this deep out or flooding the zone with this kind of receiver. It's, yeah, we know it's going to be flipped out one way or the other to Zacchaeus or maybe flipped to McLaurin one time or, you know, we'll give Luke McCaffrey a touch. Nobody's afraid. And that's very easy to defend when everybody's in one place.
Yeah, I'll disagree on not enough layups given to him. I think all they did was layups, pretty much. I think they went too heavy in that way. As I said earlier, they had 6 completions behind the line of scrimmage. I mean, the first throw of his career was designed to be a piece of cake, just a wheel route to a running back running downhill toward the line of scrimmage. They had a 1.5-yard average depth of completed target in this game. So I think there were plenty of layups. I thought Kingsbury had a decent enough plan in terms of the getting Daniels into the flow thing. It was the other stuff I had an issue with. You know, where were your in-breaking routes to beat some zones? Where was the stuff in the middle of the field, the soft spot against, you know, defenses in this league? Where was anything being pushed down the field? And if they were taking that away, then there should have been more, again, in the intermediate area. They didn't have a single completion beyond 10 yards until the garbage time final drive on the 15-yard out route to Zacchaeus. Now, those were some of my issues kind of with their plan in the passing game.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.